You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are doing the first mock draft. Today's pod, we are doing a mock lottery for the 2022 NBA Draft. Let's go!
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Anything's possible.
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination. It's the journey. Mamba out.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by what used to be called Hoop Ball, but now is Sports Ethos. I am joined once again with my good friend Callum Mack. How are you, man?
Yeah, Mitch, doing well. Big day. The draft lottery has commenced. It was pretty exciting. A few people chopped and changed as expected.
Yeah, so this podcast has been recorded hot off the press. Draft lottery happened today. This is our first initial mock draft. How long ago was it? Less than what? 8 hours ago, the lottery dropped. So we are jumping straight into it, not waiting any days or any hours longer than we need to, giving you our initial thoughts. So today's podcast, we're going to be going through the lottery and drafting each of the teams. Now, keeping in mind, this is what we would be doing if we were the general manager of the teams. We're not predicting what teams are going to be doing based on intel or rumors and stuff like that. This is just what we would do. And then the next podcast, which should come out either a day after this one or maybe 2 days after this one, depending how much time I can get to edit, we'll be doing the rest of the first round. So we will go through all 30 picks in the next couple of podcasts, and then we'll get into some more dynasty rankings and some more mock drafts as we get a bit more into the research and film and things like that. So I'm not going to waste any more of your time, guys. We're going to get stuck straight into it. We are going through the draft alternating picks. Now, from memory, last year, Cal, did you have the number one pick? I think we discovered that you had number one pick last year in our mock lottery.
Yeah, that is completely correct. I went with Cade Cunningham, and you picked Mobley second, I think, and then I went with Jalen Green. So we did pretty well. Obviously, it is a lot easier for the top prospects.
Yeah, I mean, the top prospects, you can't get too wrong. Although I think there was a bit of debate last year about Mobley versus Green. I think you were on the Green side. I mean, 1 year
That's
into
right.
it.
So I was happy to snatch him up at three that year.
Maybe 1 year into it, I've been proven right. I don't know. We'll see how we go. But today, I'm going to get the number one pick. And obviously, with the results in today, we now know that is the Orlando Magic. So let's get started with this one. All right, with the number one pick, the Orlando Magic. First of all, before I make the selection, very interesting team to get the number one pick, in my opinion. I actually think that it's not a foregone conclusion who they're going to pick, which is exciting. You know, most years it's kind of been that number one guy that's kind of, oh yeah, cool, we know who it's going to be. But this year, I think, in my opinion, I've got two guys that I would be happy to select here. this is probably one of the few teams where I am going to be selecting Jabari Smith Jr. For them. Most of the other times, I'm happy to select Chet Holmgren here, but I think with Orlando, they really need... they've got a lot of perimeter shooting needs, in my opinion, that will help players like Jalen Suggs create a bit more spacing. I think that they've kind of got that defensive side of the ball covered a little bit better than most other teams with a lot of long, you know, defensively minded players. So, and not to say Jabari Smith, I think, is a great defender as well and is very versatile and switchable. You know, a lot in the air with this team. Like, what the hell are they doing with Jonathan Isaac? Is he a part of this team's future? Like, where do we see Suggs getting? Is he going to be someone who's going to be able to, you know, be a leading point guard on a good team? You know, yeah, lots up in the air with this team. So I'm not 100% sold on it. I find it difficult to choose for these guys, but at this stage, I'm going to lean Jabari Smith purely because I think he's the best shooter in this draft. I think he's got really good size. He's younger than the other few top-ranked prospects, so there's that on his side. He's a full year younger than Chet Holmgren. So that's my pick. What are your thoughts on Jabari Smith going number one to the Magic?
I do think it meets their need for shooting. I do believe that is something that they kind of do lack, even though you can have Mo Bamba having some heat check moments here and there. But outside that, it's a weird team. I know you mean to pick.
Yeah.
Because we've all kind of said there's, you know, three great power forwards ranked in, and then Jaden Ivey's kind of in the mix there. It's more of a combo guard. And this team is quite deep at the four position, considering Jonathan Isaac, that's kind of where he should be playing. They do have Mo Bamba and Wendell Carter, who they play together. So both those guys do have time at the four. And then addition to that, you got Franz, who can play the three, but also plays the four too. So it could be a bit challenging with the minutes just based on this fit. I do think the shooting is quite necessary. If I was the Heat, if I was the Orlando Magic, I would have considered probably Paolo as well, but it would have been between those two. And I have no complaints really with them getting Jabari Smith, who I thought was number one on my draft board anyway.
Yeah, okay. So you would have made the same selection if you were me in this position?
It would have been pretty close between Jabari and Paolo, but I think I still would have rested on Jabari for Orlando here as well.
Yeah, okay. I guess the main criticisms for Jabari is like the lack of self-creation and finishing at the rim are probably the two biggest things that he's like sort of nitpicks are. The finishing at the rim, I think, will improve. He's obviously young. He's still building in strength. I'm not too concerned about that. The self-creation is something that, yeah, I am a little bit concerned about. I don't know if he's going to have... He's not going to be that guy that's going to create separation. He's not a super fluid ball handler in an ISO kind of sense. But in saying that, I don't necessarily think that you have to be that. Is he the number one player offensively on a championship contending team? Probably not. It is probably the way I'm thinking. So I don't know if it fills a need of them getting, you know, that cornerstone guy that, okay, give him the ball, he's going to get a bucket. But I don't know if there's anyone in this draft that is that. So, you know, I'm lower on Paolo than you are. Maybe some people might say that Paolo is that guy. I don't think he is. So for that reason, I'm just feeling, as funny as it sounds with the number one pick, I'm feeling a need and also probably grabbing one of the best players in this draft, one of the youngest players in this draft. And maybe next time I can get a franchise score or something like that, or maybe a lead, you know, guard that can sort of pair well with Jabari. But yeah, it is a tough one with how this team is constructed.
Yeah, I guess you are kind of banking that Suggs does have some pretty good improvement as well. So yeah, with that in mind, look, I still would say Jaden Ivey does make kind of sense to this team as well as Paolo. Yeah, they do think that could be that offensive threat in the future, but I'm happy to rest here on Jabari.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to pick number two. Over to you, Cal. Pick number two. Right, who have you got,
Oklahoma,
mate?
Oklahoma City Thunder on the clock now.
That's it.
Some great options to choose from. I think with their roster and with everything that they have, I'm pretty keen to just get with Paolo Banchero here. I'm just going to draft him.
Wow.
He's a scorer. I think they need some points. They have the Josh Giddey to bit of creation. Jaden Ivey, I think they've already kind of got their guards in Shea and Giddey. So Ivey doesn't make as much sense. They definitely would consider Chet But me personally, I think Paolo is a better prospect. I know I some people do disagree with me, but I think Paolo is just the better prospect. So if I'm in charge of the OKC, I'm going to grab him and just try and get a bucket getter to pair up with Shea for my future.
Very interesting. I mean, like, you're not alone. Let's make that clear. I obviously, if you haven't checked it out already, please go and look at our big board video where we went through our top 14 ranked players each, regardless of team fit. And I was obviously a little bit lower. I mean, I had him third, but you had him higher and in the same echelon as some of these other guys, whereas I didn't. For me, I'm definitely taking Chet there. I think that for this team in particular, they've got Shea, who's their number one guy, and he's a legit 25 a night kind of scorer in the NBA. We've already seen that. And so I think that you've got your number one scoring player that I think he can be a number one scoring player on a championship or a contending team. So the next guy, you know, Chet can be like a number two or a number three option behind, you know, him, Giddy, and Shea, I think, you know, and you've got Dort there, you've got some really good defense. I definitely would have gone that way, but I can see the appeal of obviously having a Paolo there. I'm worried about the defense though, and the rim protection. There's not a whole lot of that on this team. You know, whether their centers, like, is Poku your best rim protector? I don't know if I want to rely on that.
Hey, look, OKC have some other later picks.
They do.
I think that they could pick up some more defensive prowess.
Maybe.
But I was kind of thinking from an offensive standpoint, Shea isn't enough. You have someone like Lou Dort is a bit of a heat check, great defensively. Giddy isn't really that scorer. He gets people involved, but not that kind of scorer. And then on top of that, I just kind of think that they just need that extra guy, that guy that gets a bucket, takes some pressure off Shea. And also I think they do need a power forward in Paolo. So I'm pretty happy drafting in there as their OKC.
Look, I don't hate it as much as I was saying that I wouldn't have done it myself. I think there's, you know, there's definitely merit to it. And I think that, you know, Paolo Banchero is obviously one of the top four guys clearly in this draft. I was in my little mock draft. We obviously were doing this live and I don't know what you're going to pick at any point. You don't know what I'm going to pick at any point. But when I went through, I was actually sliding Banchero with this next pick. I wasn't going to be taking him at number three just because of concerns and fit and things like that. But I do have him third on my big board overall. So obviously at two, it's not that big of a reach for me. But yeah, let's move on to pick number three. All right, so pick number three are the Houston Rockets on the clock. Now, like I mentioned just before, I was ready to make a shock selection here with this pick, expecting Chet Holmgren to be off the table. I was actually considering reaching for Jaden Ivey over a Paolo Banchero. I wasn't sold on the Banchero and Şengün fit and him and Wood, and I just didn't like that mix. I felt as though you're sort of canceling out, you know, one of your best young pieces by pairing those two together. But that's all been eliminated for me. I'm very happy. I think this is actually one of the dream scenarios that the Houston Rockets would love this pick. I am selecting Chet Holmgren and not thinking twice about it. What are your thoughts about Chet going to Houston?
I just think it's a great fit. I personally would consider, like, just having that electric dynamic backcourt of Jaden Ivey and Jalen Green. That could be crazy.
Yeah.
But I also just think Chet Holmgren does kind of fit their need in terms of I personally think Şengün is a piece for the future, and we both know defensively he's not quite there. And to have a help defender like Chet Holmgren to be able to come in and block shots, I think that fits really quite nicely. And he can do everything else. He spreads the court, can give Jalen Green a bit more space to work in, assuming he is kind of the future for this team, which I think he is. Towards the latter end of the season, he was putting up over 20 points. If you look kind of after the All-Star break,
he was getting... season.
Exactly. So I do see a lot of potential there. So in terms of fit, get some more defensive prowess there, I'm quite happy. I'd be pretty stoked, actually. Even though, once again, pairing him with Jaden Ivey could be super electric.
Yeah.
I just think him and Chet also is just a great dynamic duo.
Yeah, I was ready to do it, man. I was ready to do it over Banchero. but if I was the Houston Rockets, I was at pick one, I would be picking Chet Holmgren, because I think that this is just... I should clarify, I think Paolo is a better player than Şengün, but there is something to be say about maximizing the value of the pieces that you already have. And like you, I agree that in this team. You've got Green. And then Shengun's probably your next most valuable piece, if we're honest. Like, it's him. You know, you've got...
Well, you got Christian Wood as well, is worth mentioning. Wood.
I don't know if he matches the timeline of this team. Like, I see him more as a trade chip on this roster. I don't know if he's going to be around when these guys are actually starting to push for playoffs and sort of that sort of thing. So in terms of, like, impact to a team right now, sure, he's behind a few other guys. But in terms of how this team should be valuing their pieces, I see him as a number two guy. And so I don't want to be, you know, pairing someone like Apollo to sort of cancel that out. Whereas I feel like maximizing Shengun's talent with someone like Chet is the best way to do it, because you can have that defensive presence on one end and that floor spacer, and those two can sort of work together. Whereas Shengun can be a bit more of a facilitator. He can play a bit more inside, you know, on the offensive end. He can sort of, you know, be protected a bit by Chet on the defensive end. So I think that synergy works really, really well, and it maximizes the talents of this team. And like you said, Jalen Green is going to be the number one scorer on this team. He's already shown flashes of being able to do that. So I'm very happy in leaning on a bit more defensive side of the court with this selection. So really like the fit. I mean, who knows? Maybe there will be a shock selection, and maybe an Ivy does go here on the real draft night. I wouldn't be too upset. But yeah, as far as the way it's turned out, I'm pretty happy. Let's move on to pick number four.
All right, pick number four. If you guys listened to our last pod, I did have five players in total in my kind of tier one. So I'm really kind of looking at both those guys. Firstly is Jaden Ivey in a more of a combo guard, and Shaedon Sharpe being more of your 2-3 kind of wing. Between the two, considering my roster, with De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, kind of, I guess, the two corner pieces of my franchise. I'm going to actually select Shaedon Sharpe here. Yeah. I think he's a better fit.
Yeah.
I like it. He can spread the court. I think he's just a better kind of heat check shooter in comparison to Jaden Ivey. Because Jaden Ivey and De'Aaron Fox do seem quite similar, and I'm just not sure how that would work if neither of them can really hit it from beyond the arc. And kind of make people work on that end. So for that reason, I just think Shaedon Sharpe's a better player. A better fit for this team. I also love Shaedon Sharpe. I think he's awesome. I think he is definitely, in terms of my guys, I'm a big fan of him. Yeah. I hopefully think that the Kings don't just ruin this pick here, because Shaedon Sharpe, I have a lot of stock in him.
Yeah, it's funny, because like, as soon as the draft lottery happened and I realized that these guys were selecting at four, I was like, oh shit, that's the Jaden Ivey spot. Like, what are they going to do? Like, oh, classic Kings, they finally get some good luck, but it's like, oh shit, it's like the same guy as your, you know, best player. You know, classic Kings move, they trade Halliburton one season, and then they'll draft Ivey. If I was drafting in this spot like you were just now, I probably would have done the same thing. I think I would have gone with the Shaedon Sharpe. I think you've kind of, not just you, but I'll give you a little bit of credit in converting me, and I've actually lifted him up on my big board to join that top five, and sort of dropped someone like a Jalen Duren out of that and sort of gotten rid of a tier. So my tier two is Paolo, Ivy, and Shaedon Sharpe in like a little half tier below the top two. So I think he's there and about. I mean, I like the length and the defense, which I think the Kings really need from someone like a Shaedon Sharpe. So I think that he's going to provide a bit more of that than an Ivy will. And hopefully, you know, the shot, you know, it can be consistent enough to be reliable throughout an NBA season. We've seen it. It looks good. Like, the mechanics look solid. He looks like he's going to be a good scorer. But obviously, we haven't got the sample size to see what it looks like from an efficiency point of view just yet. But you know, you're the Kings. You've been stuck, you know, in the bloody no man's land forever. You've got to take a swing, and then Shaedon Sharpe's obviously got that upside. So why not? I think it's a reasonable thing to do at this point in the draft. How close were you to going to Jaden Ivey, or were you pretty sold on Shaedon Sharpe over Ivey at this point?
I just didn't like the fit. And even though Jaden Ivey is so explosive and can be such a highlight reel, I also think Shaedon Sharpe is just crazy as well in terms of his athleticism. He is an elite athlete. So I did think about it, but I was still pretty comfortable just taking Shaedon Sharpe in the end.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm with you too. I think I probably would have done the same thing. And in the scenario I had in my head when Ben Carroll was going to be available at pick three, and I was going to go Ivy, and then I was still going to go a Shaedon Sharpe over a Banchero because, again, I didn't like the fit with Banchero. With someone like a Sabonis and things like that, same kind of like redundancy thing going on there as the previous team as well. So I think that they're all in the same kind of mix to me. So not mad at all. Let's go into pick number five. All right, I think this is a pretty easy selection here. I'm pretty happy if I'm the Detroit Pistons if this occurs. And you know what? I can't be mad. You know, I know they fell out of the top four, but being number five, I still think that there's a good solid player, a good upside swing player here, regardless of who falls. So I'm pretty happy to select Jaden Ivey here with the Detroit Pistons. And I actually don't mind the fit with him and Cade. Obviously, Cade's a bigger guard. He's probably going to be the quote-unquote point guard. Jaden Ivey's going to be the quote-unquote shooting guard. But they're going to be kind of like taking in terms of running this offense and having someone with extreme athleticism next to Cade, which was always one of his like sort of cons, I think, can really create a bit of excitement, can increase the pace at which this team plays with. And I think, you know, that's going to be something that they can sort of benefit both of from each other. You know, you're looking down the court, you get it ahead to Ivy, gets the fast break dunks. I think it could be very exciting. And I would not be too upset if I was a Detroit Pistons fan with this pick at all. What are your thoughts about Ivy going to the Pistons?
I actually love the fit. I really want Cade to have a cool running mate. And, yeah. And I love Jaden Ivey. I'm really high on Jaden Ivey. He was number three on my big board
like
in
this
the slide this far. I'd be super stoked, honestly. The fit is great. Cade can hit the three, make his own shot. I'm not too sure if Jaden Ivey is like the floor general and does fit the mold of kind of that combo guard and can take some responsibility from Cade while also make cuts. And Cade could find it. This guy is an elite athlete. He's proven that. And I love this fit. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it's funny. I look back at these first five picks, and the pick that I probably feel the least confident in is the Magic pick at number one. Like, I kind of like, I like these fits a lot better with a lot of these other guys. I kind of wish the Magic just were forced to take, you know, the fifth guy and just deal with it. But, you know, having to make that decision, I find it stressful for Orlando. I don't know. But yeah, I like this fit as well as the other previous three picks for all these teams. So can't be mad at all. So I think that's a pretty clear consensus top five. And the reason that I moved Shaedon Sharpe up a tier is because I really don't see anyone else break into this top five. Like, do you see anyone else cracking into this, you know, tier at all? Like, is there any late surge that we can see from someone like a Jalen Duren or Keegan Murray or AJ Griffin or someone like that? Or is it these guys and these guys only?
Me personally, I'm pretty set on my top five. I wouldn't have anyone go up. I have seen some mock drafts have someone like a Keegan Murray up there. I've even seen some guys have Johnny Davis and some with AJ Griffin actually as well. So
yeah,
there are some different opinions, but me personally, once again, like I had a very strong top five. If I'm the Detroit Pistons, I'm pretty happy, even though I didn't end up with a top three or whatever, but you're getting a pretty incredible prospect here.
Yeah, and I think with the teams in the draft here, these guys are all looking for high upside guys. No one's really trying to compete next year, so you're looking for those high upsides, and I think these are the clear top five in that respect. So I think here is where the draft gets a little bit interesting in terms of we've got a big window, a big glut of players. So let's get stuck into it. Pick number six. All right, who have you got for us, Cal?
I was actually pretty excited to make this pick. I think it's pretty easy. If I'm Indiana, I'm actually really happy to just take Keegan Murray.
I think it's
a good fit. He just can do everything. He doesn't really completely stand out in a lot of regards, but he's such a solid player. He can shoot. He can play in the post. He's got great defense, help defense, can play small ball center. You can play him at the three. He's just one of those guys that can really do it all. And in terms of this roster, I do have people like, you know, your Malcolm Brogdon, Buddy Hield, and Halliburton in the backcourt. I did draft a Chris Duarte last season who can play that kind of shooting guard and small forward role. My big's kind of out of the question. And I do have Miles Turner who locks in for the center, and I can kind of roll with him now that Sabonis is out of town. And to just have Keegan Murray to go next to him, I think it's a great fit. So I'm actually quite happy just selecting him here.
I don't mind the fit. Yeah, I think in terms of you know, personnel and things like that, I think it's a good selection. I struggle with this Indiana Pacers team because I'm like, what direction are you going in? Like, are you Like, are you keeping players like Brogdon and Miles Turner? Are you going to try and get back into the playoffs next year? And it's a really quick rebuild, or are you building around, you know, like, yeah, how much of a piece is Isaiah Jackson as a part of this team? Someone like, obviously, Tyrese Halliburton is probably their number one guy that they'd want to build around. He's obviously still really young. Keegan Murray, he's going to be 22 by the time the season starts. Any concerns about that at all? Being slightly older than some of these other guys?
I still think he's a good prospect. He was putting up points. He's got this 6'8", can block. I'm pretty, even though, yeah, look, 22 is one of the cons to this, to Keegan Murray's name, but I still think with the fit and what I've seen from him, I just think he can fit anywhere in any system, and it just really fits my team well.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, I'm just sort of playing that devil's advocate. He's sort of in this range for me. I probably have a couple of players over him personally. For me, someone like a Benedict Mathurin kind of fits the mold a little bit more. Maybe someone who can, he's a couple years younger. I'm a bit more confident in his jump shot, maybe a little bit more athletic. You know, do we think Benedict Mathurin in 2 years is going to be a better player than a Keegan Murray? I would hedge my bets and say yes. So that's where I'm sort of thinking. It gives me a little bit more flexibility to go either direction, whereas I feel like if you take a Keegan Murray, you're kind of almost, not putting all your cards on the table, but you kind of are signaling to your team that, yeah, okay, we're going to actually try and be good next year. And I don't know if that's the best thing to do if you're the Pacers. I think, I don't know, whilst there's still a bit of value, I would be inclined to trade some of these pieces, but I don't know, they might be thinking differently, and you obviously might be thinking differently as well. But you said it was an easy pick. I actually find that quite a challenging pick if I was on the board at that point. But I guess sort of we'll see how it all pans out. Anyone else that you considered at all, or were you always pretty keen on someone like Keegan Murray?
I was just really keen on Keegan Murray for the Indiana. I was kind of like, it was pretty solid. This fits my team. Even if I want to make some trades, I feel like if I was moving a Brogdon, which I would obviously consider with my future, or moving like a Buddy Hield, I think will definitely be in the trade market as well. I probably would be getting a guard back anyway. And I've already got kind of Halliburton as my point guard of the future. So it's really just wings. And even if I did that, I'd probably have more game time for your Chris Duarte. So I still think it's a good young piece that will fit the core that I have.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't mind it at all. Let's move on to pick number 7. All right, pick number 7 will be selected by the Portland Trailblazers. Another very interesting team, because what are they doing next year? Are they, like, they've got, how old is he now? He's going to be 32, Damian Lillard. You've got someone like Yusuf Nurkic, who's an interesting piece. Like, what are you doing with him? Is he someone that's going to be on this team, you know, after the trade deadline next year? Not sure. Obviously, you had the emergence of Anthony Simons last year, who stepped up into a bigger role. And then you got a whole lot of trash behind that, personally.
I will shout out Josh Hart.
Josh Hart is solid.
And he played well for them to close out the season. So we'll put him on the list, I think, as a piece as well.
I mean, that was probably a bit harsh. They're not trash, but there's no one else who I think is like a bona fide starter on a playoff-level team. You know, Josh Hart, he's maybe a rotation piece, but I don't know if he has to be a starting guy in a playoff-level team. So I don't know how quickly their timeline is, but I guess I would have loved someone like a Keegan Murray to fall to me at this point if I'm the Portland Trailblazers. I think that would be their number one guy to hope they can snag in this draft. He's not there, so I can't do that. So if that's the case, I'm going to go with just my next best guy in a similar kind of position, and I am going to go with Benedict Mathurin. Not the highest guy on my big board, that would be Jalen Duren. But I just don't know what they're doing with Yusuf Nurkic and what their plans are there. If I've got Damian Lillard, I want to maximize his talents and I want to try and push for the playoffs. And I think that keeping Nurkic and adding someone like Benedict Mathurin is probably the best way to do that. So that's probably where I'm going to go with this pick. What are your thoughts on that selection there?
Yeah, I like it. I did kind of pencil in a wing for this team as some kind of need, and also considering that Damian Lillard is kind of, you know, in his prime still, so you do want to get a piece here that can help you kind of straight away and doesn't have to be a long-term prospect, which in some regard, Benedict Mathurin is, but I do really like Benedict. I think he's got a lot of athleticism. He can shoot the ball lights out. I love his shooting release point as well.
He's got a lot of
positives, and for a team that probably does need a wing, it's a great fit. I did have a number 7 on my big board as well, so it kind of slides in quite nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I did consider someone like an AJ Griffin, but I think I want a bit more defensive potential than someone like an AJ Griffin, with players like Lillard and Anthony Simons as like my starting backcourt. That's obviously a bit of a defensive liability. So I want someone with a bit more length and a bit more, fast twitch, reactive, good lateral quickness, and someone who could at least build into that role. So that's why I probably have gone him over someone like an AJ Griffin for this team. All right, let's move on to pick number 8. New Orleans. Who have we got?
Yeah, Cal? New Orleans is a tough one, isn't it?
They've actually got, like, looking through their roster and things like that, they've got a decent roster. I like what they're doing over in New Orleans.
It's a great roster. Assuming Zion Williamson can be healthy.
Assuming
you've got
he's
CJ,
there.
Who's the kind of shooting guard, can play a bit of point, which fits perfectly with Zion. Brandon Ingram, this came off an awesome playoff series and play-in tournament. He was killing it. You got some great role players in like your Larry Nance off the bench to kind of go small ball. Jonas as your center, who can be a walking 20-10 in the regular season. So
Don't forget my boy Herb Jones.
Oh, Herb Jones, how could I forget? Herb Jones, one of the best defensive players in the league.
First year, he was so young. Yeah, he was a killer.
Exactly. So there's a lot of positives with this team. So it's a bit interesting to just kind of think what the team needs. I guess I just probably take in my mind that is the best prospect and just kind of see where that takes me. So it's tough. Next on my list was Johnny Davis.
Yep.
I'm going to take Johnny Davis. I like it.
I don't mind
it. Let's get it. He's a scorer. He's also a defender.
He's good defender.
He could
defender,
be a six
yeah.
man off the bench to be a bit of a spark plug on that end. And also in terms of some other players on the wing, you could just throw him in there for a defensive kind of lineup too. So I actually like it. Let's go. Johnny Davis could fit that small ball lineup when you have Larry Nance playing up there too. I think he could play with Zion just because of his defensive prowess. Does need to stretch the court out a bit and get a more consistent three-pointer. But this man can get his own shot. He's a great mid-range. I'm actually really high on Johnny Davis.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I think that's a good selection. Again, not someone who was my best available, but I think for what this team needs, he can slot in sort of either next to someone like CJ McCollum, come off the bench. I think they'd probably want to replace someone like a Devontae Graham sooner rather than later. Like, I think their best lineup would be something like CJ, Herb Jones. Then you'd have Ingram at the 3, Zion at the 4, and then your center, I don't know, you can mix and match whether it's a traditional center or a small ball sort of guy. So him coming off the bench, I think, would be a nice guy to sort of as a bigger guard who can play some good defense, and he can sort of play that six man role in this team. So
he can run a bit of point as well. Yeah. So you can, even if he's coming off that bench, I think it's a good fit for that point of view as well, with the Devontae Graham piece being.
He's used to playing high usage as well. So if he's coming off the bench and he has to have that bit of a load, I think that would be a role that suits him. Yeah, for sure. I like it. Let's move on to pick. Where are we up to? Pick number 9. All right, the San Antonio Spurs. Okay, they've got obviously one of the breakouts of the year last year in DeJounte Murray, who is probably their cornerstone piece at the moment. They also have a nice piece in Jakob Poeltl, who I do like, although he is a little bit older, so maybe you're starting to look at the future here. So right now, I'm eyeing off two guys. I'm eyeing off AJ Griffin.
Hey, you're forgetting Josh Primo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
The 10th overall pick from
disrespect,
last season.
Disrespect. Josh Primo, who was a lottery pick last year. Look, he actually could turn into something. He's still obviously really young. So I'm looking at two other young pieces here in AJ Griffin and Jalen Duren. I guess it comes down to what I want to do with someone like a Jakob Poeltl. Do I see him sticking around with his team? I guess if I'm picking best player available, I'm going with Duren. I know I've got a few picks in this draft, so maybe I can get some need later. When am I picking next? Let me have a look.
I feel at pick 20. Look, as the Spurs, you always have to consider the top international prospect. And at this point, it probably would be Dyson Daniels, who's a great passer out of Australia.
Yes.
That does kind of fit their team there.
Yep.
Any consideration to Dyson?
I consider it, but I think his upside compared to some of the other guys is not quite there. And if I'm the Spurs, that's really what I'm searching for. I don't really have a lot of, like, you know, star potential outside of DeJounte Murray. So I'm seeking upside here with this pick. So I'm going to go with Jalen Duren with this pick. I think someone, you put him in the Spurs system, that's going to maximize his talents. He's going to learn a lot under some good, knowledgeable players. You know, maybe he sits on the bench for the first year behind someone like a Jakob Poeltl, and then year two, he steps into that starting role and can be a dominant force. So that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Jalen Duren, who is my number one prospect left on the board. Jalen Duren. What are your thoughts with that selection there?
I feel like Jakob Poeltl is kind of the future center. But that being said, he is a bit older than you would think. He's going into his late 20s now, so maybe there is a bit more.
He's off contract after the season as well, so I don't know if he's on this roster. Maybe.
Yeah, so from that point of view, maybe it's a bit of an insurance policy as well. Actually, Jalen Duren has slid up my draft board a bit, and I do think he's a great player. So with him and DeJounte could be quite special as a tandem defensively as well. They both play with such intensity on that end. So I think it's a pretty exciting pick for them.
Yeah, I mean, I did consider obviously AJ Griffin, but I'm just not sold on him. There's something about the way he's moving and just... Obviously, he's a good shooter, but there's lots of good shooters out there. I can probably get a shooter later in the draft, especially with this draft. There is a few guys later in the first round that I think I can get that, but I don't think I can get the upside that Duren has later on. Let's move on to pick number 10. All right, who you got for us, Cal?
Okay, it's another trade team to pick for. I've got my core piece in Bradley Beal. He should be coming back from injury. I just traded for Kristaps. I'm not a big fan of Kristaps with his injury history now. And outside of that, those guys, you've got kind of other pieces. I guess Kyle Kuzma deserves a shout out. Denny Advia and Corey Kispert were some other draft picks I did pick up recently. Looking at this team, I guess maybe a point guard is something I'd be looking at. There's no real point guards on the board at this point in time.
It's a weak draft. Outside of
Dyson Daniels.
Yeah.
Maybe I do consider Dyson Daniels at this point, honestly. Or on the other end, I could go for an upside pick in someone like an Usman Jiang is more the upside. Just because AJ Griffin actually has slid down a bit on my board. I kind of do value those other guys a bit higher now just because of the lack of defense on that end. So it's a tough one. I'll be honest, I'm not very excited for these Wizards at all.
I know, I don't know what they're doing there. Like, honestly, the Wizards, yeah, I hate to say it, but I feel like they're in no man's land. They're in a bit of the King's domain at the moment, in my opinion. I personally think they've got to tear it down. But yeah, when you've got Bradley Beal there, it is hard to pull that trigger.
I'm going to take Dyson Daniels.
I like it.
I think I need the point guard. He's can do a bit of everything. He pushes it. I'd compare him to a slightly less athletic Lonzo, with not as good of a shot.
But, I'm coming around on that comp, by the way. You caught me off guard a little bit on our last podcast, but I'm coming around on it. I don't mind it at all. I think he's
got that vision, like the way he passes as well. He's actually got an incredible float game. When he gets to that paint, that 5 to 8 footer, he floats it. It's going in. And that's really, really hard to guard.
Yeah, he's got that similar size, good defensively. So, yeah, no, I like the comp.
And I do probably think with Brad, you probably do need a bit of size. And in terms of the guard spot, that can be potentially a pretty good defensive kind of stopper. So, look, I'm happy to get Dyson Daniels inside the top 10.
Yeah, the Aussie, man. And he's 19 years old, so he's still pretty young. So if you do end up tearing it down, he can still be a good player to fit in their rebuild. I think he's going to be someone that can fit on any roster, pretty much. He's super versatile, super scalable. So, man, I like it. The Aussie representing the top 10 Aussie in there. So
back years, top 10 Aussie point guards.
Here we go. Maybe we'll be coming for that gold medal soon. You watch out, USA. We've got some young stars on the rise.
Some great passes.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be passing. We'll be passing. That's for sure. No, I like it. I probably would have done the same thing. I know AJ Griffin's probably the one that's sliding a bit here in our mock draft, but I, in terms of the fit there, and I think that they're pretty close in terms of how I would evaluate them. So I probably would have done the same thing with Dyson Daniels on that team. All right, let's move on to pick number 11. All right, at pick number 11, I am drafting for the
New York Knicks.
Always a pressure pick.
Let's make some fans angry. Whoever's listening, those Knick fans.
Always a pressure pick here. But look, I'm not feeling too bad with this pick at this stage, to be honest. I feel like there's someone who is dropping, and I'm going to be selecting... Oh, I've just saw a name that I've forgotten about. Although, maybe not on this team. No, I'm going to stick with my guy here. I'm hoping if I'm getting the next pick that he's still going to be there. But I'm going to be picking AJ Griffin, I think, for the Knicks. Obviously, yeah, shooting.
I think it's such a Knicks pick. If AJ Griffin made it to this point, you just know all the New York Knicks fans, if they didn't pick him,
they'd be
furious.
Yeah,
they'd be pissed. Pulling their hair out. They're like, how could you not do it?
Which in a way makes me feel like this is the wrong pick. I don't know why I'm feeling that way. Like, I just feel like the Knicks fans want me to pick AJ Griffin here, so I feel like I shouldn't. I don't know. But at this stage, you know, first mock draft, I'm going to select AJ Griffin here. Hope that he can get a bit of that athleticism back. Hopefully, you know, under Tibbs, maybe he can get a bit more defense out of him. He's got the tools. I don't think he's necessarily... I'm not writing him off as a bad defender. He just hasn't shown good defensive...
He's just getting blown by, yeah, honestly.
He hasn't shown it yet at the college level, but I think he's got the physical profile to be a decent defender. So I'm hoping Tibbs can maybe bring that a little bit out in him. And, you know, he's got the Jimmy Butler body. Maybe in New York under Tibbs, he can have that Jimmy Butler mentality. And I think that's really what will sort of make him reach his upside. So let's go AJ Griffin to the Knicks. Let us know, Knicks fans, in the comment section. What do you think about our pick? Do you hate it? Are you booing us already? I'd love to know. Let's go AJ Griffin to the Knicks. All right, moving on to pick number 12.
All right, so as a summary, they did get Paolo Banchero as their number two pick, so they've got a scorer to go with Shea, and they've already got their cornerstone in Josh Giddey from last season's draft. I was kind of saying to myself, I consider a big guy here that could kind of fit in, or a defensive specialist that kind of fits what their roster needs right now.
Yep.
So that being said, I think I'm going to go with Agbaji right here. I think just a 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, right. You're going for the older man.
I think just like a 3-and-D player just fits the roster.
I know you're a big Agbaji fan.
I would consider the whole Usman Jiang as like a prospect, because we know this team is playing the long game. And I think Usman Jiang is kind of a few years away, super skinny. So I would be considering that just to keep the tankathon going. But in terms of what my team needs, I do think Agbaji is a good prospect. I just think he's going to be a great 3-and-D player. And I think with the roster that we have right now, I still probably would be searching for a big... but I'm also kind of happy with Agbaji here.
So I think like with Oshae Agbaji, obviously his upside's probably not as high as some of these other guys still left on the board. But I guess with when you're OKC, are you sort of in the mindset that you've taken your number one guy that's going to be your sort of 1B to SGA's 1A? Are you now sort of in your mindset selecting for them? Are you thinking, okay, let's just get a surefire thing?
I'm thinking I've got my number one piece. I've got my number two piece. Now I just need some other...
Let's fill it out.
I need like a Mikal Bridges pick kind of thing. Someone solid who can be that kind of third, fourth guy, hit threes, play defense. We all know every team can never have too many wings. And so I think that kind of fits that need there. So I am assuming that I do have my number one and number two corner pieces now that I do have Paolo Banchero.
Yeah, okay. I think for me, if I was selecting in that position, I personally would still be selecting for a little bit more upside. I guess maybe it's more the fact that I don't know if Paolo is going to be that. But even if I was selecting who I thought was the second best prospect in Chet at that spot, I still would be looking for a bit of upside. Just because I know, obviously, we know that OKC's got a shit ton of more picks coming up in the next few years. You can kind of get those rotational guys a little bit maybe later on. You want to also make sure that the guy you are selecting is that guy. Like, you know, if Boncaro comes out and he isn't as good as what we thought he was going to be, and then you selected like a rotation guy at pick 12. I don't know if you're too happy with that, but maybe you take a swing and you miss on Boncaro, but then you take another swing at this pick and you get another guy who maybe outperforms this spot. That's sort of where I'd be sort of leaning if I was OKC. In saying that, I don't hate the pick. He's probably still a tier below a couple of other guys I have on the board, which I will be revealing soon. So there's maybe two guys still left in a tier that I've got going through at the moment. But I don't hate Agbaji at this spot, especially he obviously is the kind of player that every team is looking for. Let's move on to pick number 13. All right, so this is my last pick in the lottery here. So at pick number 13, I am deciding between two guys, as I said before. I'm going to go with the guy who I'm calling this my early my guy of the draft. And he would have been the guy that I would have selected if I had the pick for OKC. And it's going to be the guy I think he's the best player available. And it is Tari Eason. I'm a big fan of this man. He's a defensive beast in terms of collecting the defensive stats. I think he's got a bit of offensive upside. If he can develop a really reliable jump shot, I see this guy being a high-level starter for a long time. At good size and good athleticism, I would love to pair him with someone like a LaMelo Ball and run the court, and I think you've got some good versatility there with someone like Tari Eason. What are your thoughts on Tari going to this team?
Yeah, Tari, I had really high. I had him 13 on my big board a week ago. I love what he brings to the table. Put up 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 steals while shooting 37% from 3. So just a really good 3-and-D kind of player. And I do believe that does fit this team quite well in the Charlotte Hornets. Someone to he can run the court quite nicely as well. You want to play at a pretty fast pace with LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
And it also is a bit of insurance for your Gordon Hayward, who always goes down with injury every season.
Yeah, I'm almost discounting Gordon Hayward really on this roster. I'm building around LaMelo. I'm building around Miles Bridges. And then you've got a few other pieces that are a bit nice there. So I think those are the guys that I'm sort of penciling in as my cornerstones. You know, you got PJ Washington there, but he's kind of coming off the bench a little bit. So, you know, you can have a Tari Eason go into that mix. And I think the more 6'8", 6'9", guys you can have that are versatile on the defensive end of the court, the better you're going to be. We've seen that in the playoffs. So just add another one of those guys, and I think he's the best prospect available. So that is my selection. Let's move on to the last pick in the lottery, pick 14. All right, who have we got here, Cal? Selecting for the...
So we got the Cleveland Cavaliers who've just snuck in here for the last pick in the lottery. I'm pretty actually comfortable with where I'm going to land here. I think I just need some more kind of maybe a wing. I've got obviously my bigs and Jared Allen, the all-star. I've got Mobley, who is definitely a future all-star. And Darius Garland, who is just an absolute killer. I love that guy. Took a huge step this season. So I've got those core foundation pieces. I'm looking at someone like a Caris LeVert, who probably is expendable. Your guy like Colin Sexton, we'll have to wait and see if he does sign a contract in this offseason. He is restricted regardless.
Yeah.
And the fit of him with Garland probably isn't the best anyway. So maybe a shooting guard, small forward is kind of what I'm looking at. But I'm just going to ignore both that. I'm going to get someone who's a defensive specialist. Yep. I'm going to get Jeremy Sochan.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it's a great pick. They need defense, especially with your Garland, a help defender. He's a guy that is being labeled to kind of guard 1 through 5.
Yeah.
Total kind of utility, defensive Swiss knife on that end. And he's being compared to players like your Ben Simmons. Obviously doesn't have that passing prowess, but can pass reasonably well too.
He's got some flashing upside. Yeah.
He does. I actually really like this pick. I think it's big advantage for for Cleveland Cavaliers, who should be a playoff team next season.
Yeah, he was the other guy that I was talking about in terms of that tier that I had above someone like an Agbaji. I think he's the last sort of guy, but that shows a bit of a high-level upside. And then for me, the upside kind of dries up. I mean, you do have some other guys like a Diang and stuff like that, but I'm a little bit less confident with that type of a player. But could you imagine the defensive ability for this team if you've got Mobley and Sochan on that side of the court?
And Jared Allen.
And Jared Allen. Like, that's
like, you could play those three together, considering Sochan can kind of guard your opponent's three.
Yeah, he can guard down and still have that size. And yeah, I mean, that's scary. I actually really like that pick. I think that would be, if I'm a Cavs fan, I'd be licking my lips if someone like Sochan came to me at that point of the draft. So let's call it there, guys. Make sure if you have any questions, if you have any comments, leave them in the comments below. Give this video a big thumbs up. Let us know who you would have selected at any point if we drafted for your team, if you liked our picks, if you would have gone somewhere else. Let us know in the comments. We'd love to chat draft. And we will see you next time, where we'll go through the second half of the first round. Until then, see ya.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.